you have to do in order to receive what only God can provide. I am saying that it's time for a mega mind shift. God is not a waiter. Heaven is not waiting around to see what the enemy is going to do next and then devising a rescue and recovery plan. Heaven is not reactive, it's proactive. God goes after the enemy. Bottom line, and we are made in God's image to do the very same thing. Starting before you're ready is the ultimate faith step. And faith steps are the kind of steps that God not only orders but prioritizes. The circumstances will never be perfect. There will always be more research that can be done, more tinkering, more refining, and so on. Just remember that perfectionism, getting ready to get ready, isn't a friend to your purpose. It's not only a barrier, it's poison. God's daughters should be the starters, not the waiters. We are to be the doers of the word, both the written word and the word and direction God gives us through revelation, not just hearers. Fear is an invitation to see things the wrong way. I wasn't ready to start my coaching company. Heck, I didn't even plan to start a company. I was just struggling to pay my bills, and I decided to do something new, to hold a seminar. Today, hundreds of men and women attend. I've had thousands of clients enroll in masterminds and online courses, and I've been able to watch dozens of women leave their job, step into their dream, and to make a full-time living operating in their calling. I had no clue that one faith step would lead to a multi-million dollar business, the ability to employ others, and to redefine the way faith is infused in business. I had nothing to lose. I can tell you from experience, it's way better to leap when God says to, or he will start a split rockin' and a strippin' until he gets you where he needs you. To start, you don't actually need a plan. You just need a mission. The best way to start before you're ready is to seek adventure, try new things, and get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And the best place to start is with your story, your big idea, your dream, and your vision. Just take one step towards it, and then another, and then another. Learn something new. Meet someone new. Smile anew. Invest in something new. And volunteer and serve somewhere new. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. New steps create new life. Step 3. Stop asking for permission. There comes a point in every woman's life where she's got to decide who she is going to be. Is she going to be a pleaser, or is she going to be a producer, a creator, a lover, a life changer, a launcher? Just know this. You don't need permission to be and do what God has already commissioned. You're not man-made. You're God-made. You don't need anyone's permission to be powerful, bold, or brilliant. And you don't need anyone's permission to share your voice, to tell your story, or launch your dream. It's the rules, the whispers from little me, and lingering guilt and pressure from things and people that don't really matter that make us shrink and second-guess ourselves. I'm not saying to be inconsiderate. I'm just saying don't put yourself in a protocol-paved prison when you hold the keys to unlocking your potential and creating a miraculous life shift. You're responsible for what and how you believe. You're also responsible for doing what God has placed in your heart. A divine shift happens when we stop looking for validation. The less you care what others think, the more your life will expand. Not everyone will understand your dream or your vision. They don't have to. It's not their vision. It's nice to have support, but you must also be careful not to draw confidence from others' approval. When we do that, we give them our keys. Someone else gets to sit in our sacred driver's seat. Remember also that miracles and influence didn't manifest in Moses' life until after he stopped doing what he was accustomed to doing. Disruption comes to disrupt our pattern and interrupt the momentum, taking us down an inferior path. So if we're going to ditch being a waiter and a pleaser, we might as well stop a few other things while we're at it and really clean our spiritual house. Stop shrinking. Silence the gremlins, the voices of self-doubt, fear, and insecurity. God speaks in cans and not in can'ts. God will never ask you to play small or dim your light. Never. Stop comparing and staring. Much of our insecurity comes from our addiction to comparison and trying to keep up with what others seem to be doing and accomplishing. We become mirage chasers, addicted to photoshopped illusions and harvesters of ego, greed, and envy. That superficial grass is not greener. It's still just grass. You are incomparable. There is no one like you. If you spend as much time focused on your dreams as you do watching others live theirs, you'd be happier and making a bigger dent in the kingdom. And staring, it's not polite. Stop auditioning. You're already worthy and have nothing to prove. Show up in your power, your voice, and your brilliance. Your gifts will do the rest. People can be transformed simply by being in your presence. Stop apologizing, especially when you have nothing to apologize for. Most of the time, we say, "I'm sorry," out of habit. We think it's polite, but it's really a sign of self-doubt and second-guessing, feeling like we've taken up too much space or imposed simply by being present. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do everything like someone else would do it. Certainly, if you mess up, fess up. But when your decisions fall short of someone else's expectations, that does not necessarily mean you're in the wrong. Christ did not apologize for ruffling feathers or going against the grain. That's not what rebels on a mission from above do. When we ask for permission, we become prisoners and waiters. We give away our power. No one has the authority to overwrite your calling and God's leading. When doubters tell you what you can't do, you should look at them as ants speaking to an elephant. That's my husband's reminder and advice to me. Why would an elephant listen to such nonsense? And just think about how low an elephant would have to stoop to hear an ant speak anyway. You're a believer, not a doubter. You don't have to listen. What you listen to leads you. Asking for permission is just another way we seek validation. Traditional education and traditional wisdom will always take you to a traditional place. Align with next-level mentors and a circle of next-level wisdom givers who already believe in your vision and are enthusiastic about your out-of-the-box potential and mission. You don't need everyone else's opinion, so now is a good time to stop asking for it. As women on a mission, we have to be intentional about not disqualifying ourselves because of what others say, what little me whispers, and what false beliefs and hang-ups we have about what it takes to lead. God qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified. If heaven called you to it, it's God's job to see you through it. Step 4, invest in you. I remember being at that crossroads, fearing growth and singleness. But Jack and I had been dating for about 4 months, and he was incredibly supportive. It was now the beginning of a new year, and I was sitting in the overflow room at Victory World Church in Atlanta. I was late that day. I don't remember the subject of the sermon, but I do remember when it was time for the offering. I love presenting an offering. I love having something to give, and have believed in the principle of sowing into God's kingdom and the advancement of the gospel since I was a kid. I thank my parents for modeling this for me, but it was up to me to continue this after leaving home. It quickly became a lifestyle and a chance for me to listen for what God would have me give, and not just adhering to what I had to give. That Sunday, I planned to write a check for $1,000. I don't know why. I'm not sure what I had earned that week, but that was the plan. When I pulled out my checkbook, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Add a zero." My eyes got big. Of course, no one knew this conversation was happening in my heart, but I also knew what I heard. So my pen added a zero. At the time, I had never sewed quite that much in a single setting. It felt like a stretch, but also freeing. God had my attention. He said to give this offering an assignment. I wrote in the subject line my expectation. This was going to be a $1 million year in my business. I knew that business growth was directly related to being able to help more people step into their destiny. Not just our clients, but also being able to employ more people and to support more causes too. More resources, more reach. Our small company surpassed the $1 million mark 3 months later. For me, investment is not about money. It's about alignment, following God's voice and investing in His vision. We must be willing to invest in both the gospel and a personal growth plan. The gospel cannot grow if we don't. While God's qualification criteria is different than society's, that's no reason to be lazy and to take our anointing for granted. That's immature and makes us spiritually unbalanced and ineffective. After I called off the wedding, it took me over a year to really let go of much of what I had built and believed for a lifetime. My flashy sports agency, the take over the world goals and image I had of myself, my attitude, my approach, my desires, even my circle, they all changed. I didn't crave the spotlight or stage anymore. For the first time, I craved a new breed of fresh manna from heaven. I wanted to know what God was thinking, not just so that I could get what I wanted. I just wanted to know what God wanted. No strings attached. The thing I most desired was to be a part of what God was already doing. It says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 14, "Wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short." I also had to surrender long enough for others to pour wisdom and love into me and help me rebuild a new, more confident and divinely connected version of myself. But I realized I needed help beyond my inner circle of friends and family. Seeking counseling was incredibly humbling. I really believe it takes tremendous courage to realize that we don't know everything. We don't have all the answers, and we don't always have the ability to fix ourselves by ourselves. We need professional support outside of the pulpit to help us on our journey. We can't put everything on our pastors. God can use anyone, but we have to be open and guard against the type of spiritual stubbornness and arrogance that keeps us stuck. God uses people to bless us, and a new blessing will usually come through a new person with something new to give you. Remember that. If we're going to be able to bless others to our fullest potential, then we have to be willing to receive blessing from others. We have to be open to whatever and whomever God knows we need to make that possible. We are spiritual beings that live in a physical world for a reason. I found that self-investment, pouring into my purpose and my superpowers, is one tangible way to build up divine confidence and to show God that I'm serious about service. Self-investment connects desire to destiny. And it's also how we wage war against the enemy and win time and time again. After all, as Matthew 6, verse 21 states, "Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be there also." The Message translation says, "It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being." Wow. My point is, we say we want to get where God desires. However, we often showcase a different story. Our actions, decisions, and investments reflect our true heart condition and determine our destiny. Most of us as believers invest in everything except our gifts and our purpose. For some reason, we have adopted a dysfunctional belief that if it's a God thing, then it's up to God to make the thing happen. That's not scriptural. Obedience and alignment always come with sacrifice, investment. It cost the disciples everything to walk with Christ. They made an investment to be mentored, to be taught, and to be able to grow. It's a sign of seriousness. Their calling did not start until after Christ left. It was their time with Christ, the mentoring, that prepared them to lead. Go figure. The same must hold true for me and you, and those we're assigned to. Development and process is so very important to God. Miracles become cheap magic tricks when we look at them as things that happen to us as opposed to through us. Plus, the Bible very clearly says that faith without works is dead. This is why purpose dies in many of us. We haven't cultivated it the way we cultivate other areas of our life. We work more on our wardrobe and our house than we do our calling. I'm not talking about tithing, offerings, and sowing into the expansion of the gospel. That's not the same as investing in your superpowers. It's not either or, it's and. To be a lawyer, I had to invest the money to go to law school. Same is true for becoming a doctor or engineer. But when it comes to being in the sweet spot of our purpose, we become a deer thunderstruck by headlights. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 2 says, desire without knowledge is not good. And in verse 8, it says, she who gets wisdom loves her own soul. One of the most powerful practices I have learned is the practice of self-investment. Learning is a sacred act of self-love. Our money behaviors reflect our spiritual and practical maturity. I invested in myself financially, spiritually, physically, and energetically, meaning with my focus, time, resources, and commitment. It took me 3 tries to find the right fit, but I invested in a therapist and committed to the process weekly. And this was during a time that money was tight and I didn't have a steady income. Next, I invested in business coaching to groom my superpowers and help me gain new marketplace skills. I took my spiritual life to another level via books, church, and prayer. I learned that spiritual growth works best when we're walking out our purpose, not just studying it. I also believe in physical investment, treating our bodies well by investing in quality food, exercise, healthy products, and rejuvenating self-care, like baths, not just showers, breathing, stillness, and massages. And finally, I reconnected with my sister circle and prioritized friendship over accomplishment. This pulled out the best in me, and this is how God waters our seed, educates us, and unleashes us. It's in the midst of intentional investment. God gives us the promise. It's up to us to invest in the process. Investment is how we embody the spirit of preparation that makes way for provision. It's how we become a vessel God can use. And every decision we make is an investment. We should therefore choose our decisions wisely. We are the stewards solely responsible for proactively multiplying the wonderful gifts we've been given. Miracles happen when we make time for ourselves and when we invest in our development. Step 5. Finish what you have started. The size of your step is less important than your direction. When we finish what we've started and press through the doubt that sprouts up along the way, the enemy has nothing left to say. Nada. But we've got to put ideas and plans into practice. Inspiration without implementation is a figment of our imagination. Plus, finishing breeds godfidence, and it rebuilds the broken bridges of self-trust we've allowed to deteriorate over the years. Much of fear is self-imposed. When we leave things lingering, when we start this but never finish that, we weaken the internal bridges that connect us to us. We stop trusting ourselves because we teach ourselves whether we can be trusted to follow through on our own dreams and desires. We are built to finish. God wants us to be starters that also finish what we've started. Randomness is the enemy of reinvention. So we must watch out for delay. It's sister perfectionism and its cousin distraction. They are decoys sent to divert our attention, keep us occupied with the unnecessary, and stop us from crossing over and emerging from the gap. They are assassins after your anointing. Instead, choose to be a manifester of miracles, a woman who says and follows through on her yes, a finisher. Disruption, disappointment, and devastation. We can't let them stop us. We can't. We must keep moving forward, trusting the voice and following the nudges of future me, the path attached to our finish line. Redefining success. These are the new rules of leadership and divine reinvention for women. This is how we fulfill our life mission. The purpose maps 5 stages: discovery, talent, the gap, gifts, and influence are here to show you the path to the real you. Reference the map often and make a commitment to share it and never stop learning, re-scripting, and growing from it. Use it as a reminder that you have a purpose, a voice, a necessary story, assignment, and mission. Nothing now or in the past is wasted. No experience or obstacle is greater than God. It's all wisdom for your masterclass and for the hearts and minds waiting to enter your classroom. You are indeed gifted in amazing ways. Sometimes it takes heartbreak to draw us back into the will of God. If disruption hadn't split my rock, I don't know where I'd be. probably a success addict looking for her next fix. Just as Christ called an already dead Lazarus to get up and come forward in order to experience new life, we too must realize that if we stay where we are, our future dies. Disruption awakens us to the divine, unwatered seeds, the miracles that lie within us waiting to emerge. Disruption isn't an enemy to purpose. I now realize they are eternal friends, partners in getting us to our promised land, and purpose partners enabling us to have the impact, life, and love that God has always intended. Disruption teaches us that we are not in charge. We don't need to be, and we never will be. It invites surrender to become our new success strategy. Though it may look like a pit, it's really the pathway to significance. Surrender in following God takes us to places talent and paid paths can never touch. During a stop on my Launch Your Dreams tour, a young woman approached me. She had waited patiently until every single attendee, about 150 people, had had post-event photos and hugs with me. Only my staff remained. I remember she was wearing a shiny black blazer with a gold undershirt. She said, "Thank you. Just thank you. You changed my life today. For $45, just thank you." To help her find the words, I asked her what she had taken away. And she said, "You spoke to my destiny. I realize that there is much more in me than what has happened to me. It happened for me." I gave her a hug, and instead of letting her go, I just held her and prayed with her and over her. My staff stretched their hands toward us from wherever they were in the room, and then she was off. 1 year later, I was emceeing an event for aspiring women entrepreneurs. At the end, a woman came up to me and said, "You may not remember me, but I came to one of your events when you did the Launch Your Dreams tour. I waited until the very, very end. It took me a moment, but then I remembered her. I gave her a hug, and then she blew my socks off." She said, "I know you meet a lot of people, but that event really changed my life. When I came up to speak with you at the end, I kept saying thank you because I didn't have any other words to say. What I didn't tell you is that earlier that day, I made a decision to end my life." She explained that she had gotten in her car and driven to a park where she was going to commit suicide. But the park was closed. She had never seen the park entrance barricaded before. She reached for her phone, sitting on the passenger seat, checked her email, and saw an email from me that read, "See you soon." The email reminded her that she had purchased a ticket weeks ago to attend the event. So she left the park, came to the event, and sat in the back row. For 4 or 5 hours, she listened to me talk about purpose, divine gifts, superpowers, disruption, greater destiny, voice, and influence. I thought about how much second-guessing and wrestling I had over stepping into my true voice, and worrying about what church people would think of mixing the sacred with the secular. But the merge is what God longs for, and who knows, maybe the doubters and naysayers were really just in my head, a mysterious they conjured up by the rules and little me. Now I understand this passage in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9. The lives of good people are brightly lit streets. Tuck this one in your heart. For every protocol pusher, false teacher, or illusion that made me feel out of place for having a marketplace anointing, an entrepreneurial calling outside of the four walls of the church, those 15 minutes talking to that woman put it all in perspective. I mean, suicide? That business event didn't just change her life, it saved it. So believe me when I say you matter, that your stories, your ideas, your dreams, your gifts, and your desires matter. Your differentness matters. In fact, it's a magnet. I'm not huffing and puffing. Your adversity gives you depth. God needs people who've been through and overcome stuff. Those are the messes that make a real message. One aligned in spirit and in truth. You are a brightly lit street, but it's time to turn on the lights. It's time to be the mentor, the voice, the gift giver, and the creative force you are. It's time to speak up, to step up, and to stop hiding. I'm talking to your destiny. I'm intentionally speaking life into your future because your future depends on it. And someone else's future depends on your mind shift, your boldness, and your start too. You don't need a stage. You don't need perfect conditions. You don't need a strategy or an audience. You need surrender and a proactive willingness to let God start using you in new and uncomfortable ways right now. Whether it's talking to a stranger on the street, connecting with a coworker, sharing your journey, as small as it might seem, with a new or old friend, purpose unfolds from within whenever we decide to be bold. Any place God takes us is holy ground. I can't say it enough. To quote Proverbs 25, verse 25, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. You are the cold water to parched souls, wandering through a desert land and wondering whether God has forgotten them. When you show up, when you share your presence, your wisdom and charisma, you bring with you the miracle working power of the Most High God. You are the light. Your life is the very catalyst that triggers new life and unlocks new beginnings. Your words can completely change someone else's world. But as my mama says, a message is no good if it stays in the bottle. Decide today what kind of woman you want to be. What's important to you now? And is it attached to the outdated version of you? Your addiction, success, regret, pleasing, safety, or striving? Or is it connected to the bigger future awaiting you? Visualize and commit to the quality of impact you want to have, and then make decisions that create the future you desire. We must become an incubator where miracles are capable of happening. It starts with being surrendered to a divine building process, not a moment, not a quick encounter, but a process that enables the promise to take root in us. It is then that we are able to flow, that fresh life, light, salt, and fire are able to flow through us powerfully and in a timely fashion. Let go of what you think you need and detach from what others will think or say. Is it easy? No. But is it necessary? Yes. Little me always looks for someone to affirm your greatest inner fear. Know that God didn't just save us because we're wretches, but because we are wonderful too. Someone else is waiting on you to show up right now, for you to do what you've been called to do so that that person can find permission to do what he or she has been called to do. That person's blessing, healing, salvation, and progress is locked up because you're sitting on the sidelines. It's time for you to step in fully. Your life unlocks miracles in others. Yes, you are that incredible. That's just how God designed you. You are the way that you are for a reason. I know the little voice in your head keeps whispering that something is wrong with you, that you're too flawed, quirky, broken, and in need of repair or more development, but that's simply not true. God is ready to use you and your personality right where you are right now. What you think is a mess, God sees as a message and a miracle already in motion. When we listen to the inner voice that says, that's not like me, or that's not how I like to do things, we slam the door in the face of calling. Reinvention is intended to stretch us into something new. We're not supposed to recognize ourselves or be predictable. When we make a vow about what we will never let happen again, as if we're in control of anything anyway, we end up creating fear-based rules dictating how we'll protect ourselves from being hurt, rejected, disappointed, or disillusioned in the future. And then we have the nerve to call that discernment. It's really just fear. These vows and rules become handcuffs, keeping us connected to the old. Surrender and grace alone take us into the new thing. So start with your story and start with what you do have. What disruption left behind is all you need anyway. I guarantee God will do the rest. To believe bigger is to believe beyond your experience and to trust the arrival of something you cannot see. It is this type of belief that captures God's heart and releases resources and miracles from heaven. The gifts of disruption. Today my life looks very different than it did when I was crying in the stall of that smelly bathroom. I stepped into my purpose. I did my best to let go of the opinions of others, the anxiety of not knowing what was ahead, and even the fear of being alone. And that's when everything changed. It wasn't overnight, and I am still a work in progress. But God and grace took me through the process of divine reinvention, forgiveness, and belief, and into overflow. God gave me a bigger vision during the gap, which felt like my lowest point. He painted a vision of new wine and new wineskins. He wasn't going to leave my heart broken and my desire to be seen, selected, and loved, orphaned. I trusted the counseling and all of the stripping and developing. I stepped in. I didn't tiptoe. I leaped and refused to look back. I've been able to grow a successful business, sure. But the business was just the backdrop to bigger blessings, the bridge my feet were asked to cross to exit the wilderness and enter my promised land, an avenue to share my message. Your bridge, whatever it looks like, leads to bigger blessings too. The most amazing gift disruption has given me is not just my confidence and my influence. It's enabled me to experience significance in terms of impact. Seeing women and men change their lives and then watching them change the lives of others. The ripple effect is breathtaking. Nothing compares. And disruption gave me my purpose partner, Jack. He is an amazing, funny, handsome, and gifted man who believes in me often more than I believe in myself. He supports me, and he encourages me to push past my comfort zones. Our marriage is teaching me his signature guiding belief, which is to stay out of your own way. He's the one who taught me the principle of finishing what I've started. It was also him that encouraged me to tell this story of betrayal and infidelity when I thought it was irrelevant. He said I had to stop hiding my true voice and story if I was serious about awakening women to do the same. And he believes that his job is to cover me as I live out my calling, not to enable hiding, shrinking, or staying with the status quo. So I guess you could say I hit the jackpot, indeed. It's key to have someone in your life who is excited about you and won't let you give up on God's plan for you by clinging to fear. And it is my husband who reminds me to keep stepping in. He actually uses those exact words, not knowing they were the two words that opened the way for me to receive him. Alignment and divine assignment, love and legacy are one and the same. Purpose is a package deal. My life has expanded, and my faith walk has deepened in ways I could not have foreseen. So, to disruption, I say thank you. Thank you for being the perfecting process that equipped me to show up in the world stronger, wiser, and bolder. This is who I was meant to be. A woman who believes bigger. A woman who says yes. And a woman who lets other women know it is okay to be incredible. We are not meant to blend in. God's girls are designed to stand out. Divine defiance. When God said, "Let there be light," he was giving you permission to shine. I didn't know at 11 years old, when I vowed one day to become a teacher who would make her students feel like anything was possible, that my life mission had come down from above. Lightning bolt moments are God's way of giving us supernatural insight. And the truth is, I've always been a teacher, and so have you, my friend. In your own way, it is who you are, and it's what brought us together. It's time to embrace it and step into it. Let's not compare classrooms. Let's not compete when we're uniquely wired to complement. Our destinies are beautifully intertwined. A shift will always be uncomfortable and unexpected. It means you're needed. Your God space is indeed calling you, not into four walls of a building, but into the four corners of the world. So there you have it. Believing bigger is the simple secret to becoming the person that God has always intended you to be. I want to leave you with a closing scripture From Amos chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, the Message version. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim, one thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. And I'll plant her. I'll plant her firmly on her own land. She'll never be uprooted again. As you take faith steps, know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The weapons may form, but when you operate in purpose, they cannot prosper. Keep forgiving. Keep trusting. When God is for you, nothing can stand against you. And never forget that there is none like you. Believing this truth is a courageous act, one of defiance. But you're a rebel now, ready to inspire, teach, and lead a rebellion. Even when you're in your calling and loving what you do, there will be a part of you that feels like you're still not where you need to be. It's little me hinting that something is bound to go wrong. This can't really be as wonderful as it seems. You can't possibly be as important as God says. You'll mess this purpose thing up eventually, and others will find out what you feared all along, that you're a fraud. But remember, little me is a liar. God is co-authoring your future with you right now. When God says yes, there is not a devil in hell that can say no. So defy the status quo. Defy convention and tradition. And defy gravity. Do what seems impossible, unthinkable, and untimely. Christ defied all the odds, and so should you. I know the best is within you, and that superpowers are indeed waiting to manifest through you. I believe in your beauty, your boldness, and your brilliance. I believe in you. My prayer is that you would believe bigger in you too. Acknowledgements. I'm incredibly honored to do life with some beautiful people who often don't get a lot of credit, but deserve the very best available this side of heaven. I'm thankful for my husband, Jack, for being the one who encouraged me for years to tell this story, my story, not just share my strategies, and for believing in me and our shared purpose day in and day out. As I said on our wedding day, you're my playmate, my best friend, my perfect blend, the song I hope never ends. Thank you to my mom, Mary, for being my first example of a prayer warrior and sacrificing so that I could soar. Thank you to my dad, Carter, for being a father in every way, for the conversations, the covering, and for making a life that gave me and my brother every opportunity to succeed. And to my not-so-baby brother, Corey, it's always been me and you, kiddo. I'm so proud of the man, husband, and father you have become, but most appreciative of how you are always my safe place. We have our own language and we live in our own world, but I'm clear that my faith is yours and yours is mine. To my older brother, Eric, I'm inspired by your journey and the bigger life you have created, big head. Sisterhood and sister sharpening is sweet to a woman's soul, especially for a girl who grew up with brothers and male cousins. I honor with appreciation my big sisters, prayer partners, and best friends, Karen and Nicola, my midwives ready to ride. My sisters in love, Tiffany Evans and Jovan, my TCU Horn Frogs, Consuela, Nicole, Penny and Lanasha, and my Hoyas, Carla, Clotine, Nikki and Melanie. To my soul sister for life, Tiffany Johnson, our next chapter will be the purest. Thank you, Jen Jett, Wanda Roberts, Kim Roxy, Jesse Thompson, and Joyce O'Brien for being dream defenders. Tremaine and Mama Mel for being family. You all know me as Marshy, Martian, Marshmallow, or just sister. May every woman have good girlfriends that embody your selflessness, style, grace, and ride or die. Anthony, thank you for being a brother from another and for believing from the beginning in me and Godfidence. Mama Jo and Papa John, thank you for welcoming me into the family. My picture made the family wall. Thank you, Auntie Jackie and Reverend Campbell Singleton III, for being my mentors. To Pastor Bob Wright, for seeing something within me and trusting me at age 21 for the first time with a pulpit. Mrs. Carolyn, for teaching me how to harness the Holy Spirit. to Fabian Fredrickson for telling me that Godfidence is and always has been the game plan, and to be unashamed to live out my faith in the business world. To my first coach, Janice Jackson, may I always make you proud with how I perform on and off the stage. To the teachers who changed everything, Mr. Larry Eager, 5th grade, Miss Yvonne Greenwood, Richardson High School, Professor Don Jackson, TCU. To my fellas, the boys who toughened me up by creating BAM, Boys Against Marshawn, when we were kids. Sean, Dimitri, Derek, Dominic, Glenn, and Shamari. And to the girls that finally saved the day, Malia and Ashley. To Auntie's nephews, Kaysen and Gavin, who keep me on my toes and my heart young and pure. My nieces Ariana and Shantaria, you are walking miracles. Together, we are walking legacy. Grandpa Robert, I didn't know you, but I hope this work represents the Evans name well. Grandpa Charlie, you are the one who taught me how stillness enables us to hear God's voice, even when we can't see. Thank you to my agent, Teresa, for showing up at the right time so I could step in to bigger. To Lisa Stillwell for believing right away that my story and my breed of Bible teaching needed to be published. To the Howard, Simon & Schuster team, especially Beth Adams, for keeping this alive. Thank you to the graduates of our Godfidence Business School and Me University programs for allowing us to speak into your future. In the process, I found my voice. To the early clients and those who said yes to a proposal, Brian Tippins, HPE, Teresa Harrison, Ernst & Young, Nancy Minchello, HP, Carmetria Burton, Delta Airlines, Michelle Robinson, then Home Depot, Greg Williams, then Rolls-Royce, John Shoemate, PepsiCo, and NFLers Charles Grant and Thomas Davis, and my very first customer, Phyllis Jenkins. Your early trust changed my life in more ways than one. To my dream team at Me Unlimited, She Profits and the Godfidence Company, from the depths of my soul, I say thank you to every single team member, graphic artist, web developer, stage designer, volunteer, and employee who has been with me on this journey over the years. I will always be grateful for your presence, your touch, time, and talent in helping this mission to go forth. To my future kiddos, know that when you read this book one day, Mommy was thinking about you when she wrote every word. And thank you to those who said that something like this could not be done. You forced me to believe bigger. That a business girl could talk about God, too. We hope you've enjoyed Believe Bigger, an Oasis audio production, directed and engineered by Adam Hassel. Text copyright 2018 by Marshawn Evans Daniels. Production copyright 2018 by Oasis Audio, under arrangement with Howard Books, an imprint of Simon & Schuster, Inc. Oasis Audio titles are available wherever audiobooks are sold and on our website, oasisaudio.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.